Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Now what is what we're asking? In this season of COVID-19 and all of our lifestyles being changed, with 7.8 billion people around the world being impacted by the same thing, brings us to an awareness. And for us as people of faith, either as seekers or as believers, we celebrate in knowing that God's love is never postponed, that God's love is never rescheduled, that God's love is never canceled. But it comes into the context of our lives like this Palm Sunday of April the 5th of 2020. We will all remember where we were in this Holy Week. And we remember the joy of what it occurs in our life when the truth becomes real that the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Oh, that's me and that's you and that's anyone who's been on this journey. And the sense of opening ourselves to God's love is then opening ourselves to the power and the promise that salvation comes to enrich us with a life of grace for the forgiveness of sin, but the hope to build and a life to share. And that in the season in which we may be restricting ourselves in some ways, God wants us to open our hearts in more ways. He wants our minds to be able to engage and come close to Him as we enter into this Holy Week experience. It is the Hall of Fame weeks. Now, we have celebrated in the election of Tim Duncan to the Hall of Fame. One who has loved not only across the region of San Antonio, but around the world, when tens of millions of people responded to the announcement of his being elected to the Hall of Fame, and whenever the induction ceremony is scheduled in Springfield, Massachusetts, where he'll be honored in a way that honors his whole career, we in San Antonio will be celebrating. And God wants you to know that there's a Hall of Fame life he is calling you to. That in the pressure, stressful moments like right now, you can be living your best life by coming and allowing God to ease your anxiety because he has come to seek and save all who are lost. That's what Zacchaeus found when Jesus had just completed the ministry of Zacchaeus being restored after his stealing and thieving and by using abuse of his power as a tax collector. And then salvation came to the house of Zacchaeus. That's when Jesus turned and said, I'm headed towards Jerusalem. I'm headed towards what will be called Palm Sunday. But I want you to know the reason why. Because God, the Lord, is good, and his love endures forever.
Love doesn't give up on us. It's a love with grit. It's a love that does not quit. It's a love that meets us again over and over and over. God's love is what the crowd on that first Palm Sunday, as Jesus from Nazareth is coming into Jerusalem, they remembered Psalm 118 and they began to quote from it, to sing it aloud as Jesus entered Jerusalem. I've been wondering over the last couple of weeks, why Psalm 118? Why was that the verse, the passage that was on their heart? The psalm talks about them being a people who are surrounded. The nations are surrounding them. They're oppressing them. They are hemmed in at all sides. And yet there is this one who is coming like a king to the temple to make all things right. And perhaps they realize their own sense of being oppressed by the Romans, that own sense of we're being hemmed in by evil and injustice. And we see this one who our hearts hope and believe may be the Messiah. And it is to him that we are looking and trusting. I remember as a student, first year and beyond at the University of Texas at Austin, I got really excited for basketball season. They had what they called at UT the O zone, which would be the students who were in the section right behind the basket. And I would get there early. And as I was heading towards the Frank Irwin Center, I would be thinking about the great season that UT was going to have and be filled with joy for all that that would mean. But Then we'd get there, and if you wanted to get in the ozone, you had to get there pretty early. And so I'd usually get there hours before the game, and I would then have to wait. And so I would take out my school books. Back then, we actually still had physical textbooks. And I'd start studying and working through whatever my homework was for the day, and quickly would lose sight of the excitement for the Longhorn game and would instead be all about, I sure do hope I can figure out a way to pass my midterm. But then they would let us in, and I would go from my personal distress, my own trials, back to this communal joy and excitement that the Longhorns are going to be playing today. And it's something like this that we see in Psalm 118, that they are this people that have come together, and they are experiencing the sense of joy in who God is and God's love that is interrupted by this time of testimony of despair and challenge, but it is then resumed with this confession that God's love is good. It endures forever. It connects them from this exodus to exile event that they might have also thought about their Greek overlords, their Roman overlords. This thanksgiving is not just simply an attitude of gratitude, but it is a willingness to testify, to tell somebody what God has done for you. What has God done for you in this season? This thanksgiving became a spark that kindles the imagination of God's coming kingdom.
And so it was in the crowd that greeted Jesus on that first Palm Sunday. There were the children reminding us as they read our scripture this morning, the children were in the crowd. Maybe the boy who gave a sack lunch where Jesus then could feed more than 5,000 people. Maybe the boy who was raised from the dead in Nain and was restored to life. That was a sign of a resurrection. Maybe the girl in Cana whom Jesus touched her and she was made whole. Maybe Mary Magdalene was in the crowd, in which on that first Palm Sunday, she knew the power of Jesus to release her from the grip of evil in our world. And during this COVID-19 pandemic, there is much we need to be released from. And the illness, absolutely. That we pray, Lord, that your authority to be over in the healing and the stopping of this virus. That your care and grace to be with social distancing, but approaching our hearts to you in togetherness and a togetherness with each other in a common effort to defeat this COVID-19 virus. That you entered Jerusalem on that day in order to stop the virus of sin. And yet sin has persisted, but you have given a cure that we step freshly into in 2020 in our life. That's why Jesus went to Jerusalem on that ultimate day of Palm Sunday, knowing that it would lead to the Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper experience, knowing that it would take him to Calvary on the cross, but that eventually it would get him into the grave that he would empty, into the sign of the resurrection. So in Luke 9:51, we see that Jesus pivoted, he pivoted towards Jerusalem. And to the point of no return that it happened on Palm Sunday. In Luke 9:51, it says, and the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven. But Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So he didn't immediately simply leave this earth and go to heaven. There was work to do. There was salvation that would require his sweaty commitment and blood expression on the cross at Calvary. And that he would have to experience the depth of sin to be able to set us free from the power of sin over our lives. And now that is we're into this holy week, this Hall of Fame weeks, that you may allow yourself being stretched into the bigness of Christ, the bigness of his promise from you, because he pivoted towards you when he entered Jerusalem that day. And he entered knowing that it was the point of no return. In 12:28, it says that he then gave himself when he went on up to Jerusalem. And that promise of what Christ offered is that he has come to you, that you may know that he is with you. On ahead, Jesus has entered this time. Let him stretch you into the experience as you lift your life into his presence.
In West Philadelphia, born and raised on a playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, relaxing and maxing and shooting some b-ball outside of school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared. She said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle to Bel Air." That's a song that sticks with me that somehow through years and years of television, even as you might have seen me as I was going on, I was fiddling with my microphone pack, but I still was mostly able to, while doing that, sing that song to you. That's a song for many in my generation that's on the heart. I learned the lyrics of a song that I didn't even know had lyrics. I didn't learn them, but I have them here. When I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones and line, rest and mighty fine for skipping stones. You'll feel fresh as a lemonade, a setting in the shade. That song, you may not have known the lyrics for. I clearly didn't know all of them and lost my place for a second. But that song, I hope the tune was familiar to you. That's from the Andy Griffith Show. And both the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and the Andy Griffith Show are songs that I've watched again and again and again throughout all of my life. And their music just seeps into my bones. In Psalm 118, the crowd is singing the song. And in our Luke passage, they remember it. They reach back to it and they sing it. Again, they are looking to God to be their strength, their song, and their salvation, even in the middle of feeling like they are surrounded by all kinds of adversity. Even as you might feel like you're surrounded by questions about where the next paycheck is going to come from, questions about the health of loved ones you care for, of nonprofits and churches that you give your time and energy to and that do such good work in the world. There's so many looming questions that surround us, and yet they connect to them. Presbyterian pastor Eugene Cho posted recently, "I never ever imagined having this convo with my dad today." He lists them in 7 points. "Dad, let's go for a walk. You need exercise." It's point two. "Don't go alone. I'm scared of the real anti-Asian sentiment right now." Point number three, wear your mask. Point number four, also your gloves. Point five, also your goggles. Point six, and walk 10 feet away from me. Oh, and point seven, and I love you. We all feel this sense of being surrounded. Eugene Cho talks not only about the fear of the coronavirus, but about the anti-Asian sentiment that is not at all in league with people who are created in the image of God as God's people. We stand against that and anything that would try to denigrate any people group. But he has this sense of feeling like he is surrounded. And verse 10 of Psalm 118 says, "All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down." And Psalm 118 verse 14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is my salvation." What is the song that God has placed on your heart? What is the song that is shaping you in this time? It might be all fun and games to sing about being from West Philadelphia. I'm not. And we may dream about the day when we can return regularly to a fishing hole. I'm still only able to see it in black and white in Mayberry right now while sheltering in place. But what is the song that God has placed on your heart to shape you into someone who is ready to receive and be rooted to God's unfailing love for you? In verse 22 of Psalm 118, there is this word that says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." And there's so much in our lives that we are tempted to cast away. What are you trying to cast aside? What are the things you can't wait to shed from this time of sheltering in place? And could it be that the thing God wants you to take from this time into your discipleship going forward is the very thing you can't wait to let go of? We have had these spiritual practices enforced upon us, and might we consider how God is working through them and for us, not just in this time, but so that we can emerge as disciples of Jesus Christ, faithful to all that he has called us through well beyond this COVID season. In verse 25, the people say, "Hosanna, Lord, save us. Hosanna, God, grant us success." That they have the sense that God is going to be the one who can bring good news. And they erupt in a song asking for God to save them. You may have seen recently that John Krasinski, I know him as Jim in The Office, decided there was so much bad news going on in the world that he wanted to share some good news. And here's a segment of what he shared.
And in Alabama, for 81-year-old John Klein and his sweet Anne, marriage may be old hat, but it is still more romantic than any other out there. Anne, who's in a nursing home for Alzheimer's, is no longer allowed to have visitors. Well, that's not going to stop John from finding a way to sing to his bride.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
That last video is brought to us by our friends at inspiremore.com. SGN may be a new site for good news, but we are by no means the first. So when you're looking around the internet for a smile, please check out any of the good news sites, from Tank's Good News to goodnewsnetwork.org, any of them.
They are by no means the only source of good news. And how is God calling you in this time to be a source, not just of some good news, but of the very best good news that God has to offer the world? Because we can surrender control to God. We can shout our hosannas because we know this seeming nobody from Nazareth, this marginalized Middle Eastern man, this prince of the poor and the pushed aside, this faithful one to the flawed and failing, he is the divine king who comes in the name of the Lord to rescue us, to redeem us from sin, from sickness, from all sorrow in our life. He is faithful, and because of God's faithfulness in the past, we can rejoice in the present in hope. Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord, save us.
Amen, Brother C-Mac. Bringing the word together as we live our lives together. So it is that on that Palm Sunday, like today, we are called to give praises, but praises from deep within our soul. Like Pastor Debbie said in the children's message, that they be real, they be authentic, they come deep from within in honesty. As Pastor Judd had prayed for us in the prayer of Thanksgiving, that it would touch our hearts with a generosity, the kind of praise that lifts up. And so it says in Luke 19:37. That the whole crowd of the disciples began to joyfully praise God. They were at the upper towns of Bethany and Bethphage and the Mount of Olives, where Jesus had taught the disciples how to pray, where he had taught them the Lord's Prayer. And there's the winding road into the old city of Jerusalem. And as he wound his way, there were disciples who were genuinely celebrating the wonder of God, and others were looking on, knowing that it was a pressure situation. Others were wanting to distract Jesus from his mission. Others were merely wanting to be spectators to the good show of what would happen to Jesus. But it was the disciples who stretched themselves beyond what they could do on their own into the bigness of God that got the message of that day and would have the strength of the roots of their life into the soil of God's marvelous love. We're in the sanctuary for this service, and the last Sunday we had at least 1,200 people worshiping with us by Facebook Live and live stream or through the course of the week, and we celebrate in togetherness. But in the sanctuary, normally every Sunday, there would be Diana Charles and her mother Grace about right there. And in this week, Diana wrote me an update of how things are going for them. Here's part of what she said. dear Pastor Les, and Mother and I miss being with you and being with everybody at the experience of worship together in Sunday school and church. But I want you to know that I'm working in my garden and I'm singing to my plants, singing to her plants. Who is she singing to? Well, she's singing to the purple cabbage and the bush beans and the cucumbers and the okra and the onions and the mint and the potatoes and the eggplants. And then Diana says, this recently retired school teacher, I also call my Sunday school members and pray and sing with them. My neighbors go to the store sometimes for us, and I'm going to share my garden vegetables with my neighbors. And my flowers make the bees happy. And my mother feeds the birds, and they sing to us. And I read my Bible, and I try to think about the day when we can come back to church. The experience of being church now where we are, being the church where you are, then is the movement of that gospel and how we're worshiping in this way together. But also Diana is saying she's looking forward to the day when we don't need to shelter in place, that we're able to come together. And that's when we'll be having another great celebration experience whenever that Sunday arrives under God's sovereignty and his healing power. We'll again be together in person without having to worry about physical distancing. But we are together now. You notice what she was doing. She was taking God's creation from her garden and she was singing to her plants. And her mother was feeding the birds. And her mother, who 4 months ago turned 90, and we celebrated Grace's birthday in the midst of a worship experience. And so she's singing to the birds, and the birds, I mean, she's feeding the birds, and the birds are singing back to them. All of God's creation. You notice in the passage when Jesus said to the skeptics in the crowd that if I told these children not to sing Hosanna, the very stones would call out with a word. And so in the vivid description of what Diana has provided for us, God's creation is calling out. Our world is suffering in the midst of this pandemic, but there is so much we need to repent from. There's so much we need to change in my life, in our lives, and in our world. Therefore, may this be the kind of Palm Sunday taking us into the Holy Week experience by which we have honestly looked at a lifestyle that has got us to where we are, and that we then may lift up all the talents, all the finances, all the economy, all the pressures, all the needs of our life, place them into God's hands, and let God reshape our lifestyle so that when we are on the other side of the pandemic, that we are at a place of truly allowing Holy Week to shape more of God's holiness within our life. And so as Jesus approached the city and saw Jerusalem, he wept over it, Luke 19:43. He had a passion for the hurts of people, and as we experience the hurt and the passions of people's lives now, because the word passion genuinely means to suffer alongside with. The sense of being in the ache in the lives of others. And so Jesus was motivated to be able to bring the healing into the sickness of people feeling separated from God, and a sickness separated from each other and separated from themselves. But as we stretch ourselves into the goodness of God, as we know that his love lasts forever, that the work that Jesus is headed towards on Calvary and the crucifixion deals with the virus of sin, but we've got to trust Jesus with our whole lives by opening ourselves to him and allowing that to penetrate our lives, so that the cross that we see there, that cross is the sign of what it is to be healed by the love of God, so that we may change our lives. And now is the time for us to be doing it. Last Sunday, I showed in my message a sidewalk art by the Shelnut family from Isaiah 41:10. An artist, a friend of mine, was watching and worshiping with us from a different state. And she was inspired by that, and she did her own sidewalk art. And that's what you see on the right hand of the screen, Isaiah 41:10. Now, what occurred was one person encouraging another, one talent encouraging another talent, that all who walk walk down that sidewalk may be getting the same message but in different locations. And so we're living our lives under the message of Jesus Christ, but in different locations. And we may inspire others to take our talents and to share the promise as we move forward in our lives, because we know that the Lord holds us in the right hand of His righteousness and the strength and the power of what He provides. We're headed towards Easter, but we've got work to do before we get to Easter Sunday. We have work to do, and so our challenge is for you to do this work this week, that you may feel the goodness of knowing how much you need God's love and His healing power, so that you may extend that love and His healing promise into the lives of others, that we may be humbled as we move into this Holy Week, preparing ourselves for a Last Supper experience of Maundy Thursday, taking in the excruciating expression of love from Jesus at Good Friday, so that when we arrive here next Sunday, where you are in your home, your office, your car, wherever you are, where we will be together in the experience of Easter celebration worship, we will have been transformed by stretching ourselves into the bigness of Christ, and that by His extension, we know that we have our place to be. Open your mind unto the Lord. Let God shape your thoughts. Let it move beyond the worries that you have, but give Him your worries through how you think in light of Him. Open your heart unto the Lord. Take the values that shape your feelings and your feelings unto the Lord, so He may take your emotions and hold them close, and you know that you've been held by God and you feel His love. Take your body with whatever is occurring for you physically, whatever age that you are, knowing that your life and your body is a gift, and let Him hold you close. And that spiritually is what holds it all together, that you may open yourself to experience God's grace, and the more that we open ourselves, the more we receive what God is wanting to give us. Palm Sunday 2020. In some ways, unlike any others, and in other ways, it's like all the others. It's like the way of Jesus saying, I intentionally have come for you, but I've come to seek and save all who are lost, all wanting to be found, all ready for the goodness of God that never runs dry. And to you, O Lord, we enter into an invitation. Our worship team will be leading us in our music. And as you're at home or at the office or in the car, that you may know right where you are, the Lord is saying, I love you. And the Lord is saying, trust me with your life. Trust me by saying yes. Yes to saying, Lord, I accept my need for you, so that in that acceptance, you're opened up to the goodness of what God has for you. And accept the sense of seeing the Christ come to you, to taking in His presence as the Son of God, believing in Him, and then committing yourself to say, Lord, on this day, this Palm Sunday, I commit myself to follow You, and I will give my life by living my life each day in light of You. Oh, Lord, let it be. If you're family there, hold the hands of family members that you can physically touch each other. If you're there by yourself, know that you're not alone. We are kind of virtually holding our hands out to you, that you may feel the touch of His love and work through our love for you. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.